Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't know about you, but if there's one consistent prayer in my prayer life, it's that one. God, no matter what happens in this earth, the near endless mistakes that I make, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I think if you've lived long enough and accrued an impressive resume of mistakes, you know, accidental or willful, that's shaping your prayer life too. It's important to always remember the context from which we pray a prayer like that. God, remember me. We pray that as human beings, caught or trapped in space and time, born into a history that we haven't chosen. You're born, you grow up, become an adult. And maybe you've grown up in the West, and so you've heard a lot of messages of encouragement, of freedom. You can choose your life. And you get a little older, and you start recognizing the restrictions, the constrictions that you actually face. Maybe you were born to a family that didn't have too much. So the lack of money is a barrier. Or maybe you're born and you have cognitive difficulties. And that's a barrier. In a world that prizes things like literacy and productivity and mental acuity. And I think if you start processing that and reflecting on that, you recognize that we need help. I hope you do. Because we do need help. And often we make moves to get that help. Usually it happens, we ask for political help. And we've been asking for political help for thousands of years. If we only get the right people in power, then things will change. Then life will be made better. Then we'll have what those religious folks call the kingdom of Jesus on earth. You know, peace, love, friendship, a lack of strife, a lack of need. But we've been playing that game for thousands of years. And at least here in the West, in a country like Canada, I think we're actually kind of sick of it. We're sick of leaders who make all these promises and then don't fulfill them. My wife and I started watching The Crown Season 5. Maybe you watched that show. I'm not sure if you have, but we started. At least we watched the first episode. So the binge is coming. And the first episode starts with Queen Elizabeth later in her reign with her son, Prince Charles, itching to be in power. That's the drama of the first episode. He is talking to the prime minister and trying to make moves to see if he can get the queen to abdicate, that he's young and he's modern and he has the right ideas. And so he's making power plays. And the queen and her husband are making power plays to have their yacht renovated at the expense of taxpayer money. And one of the last scenes, you have the prime minister reflect on how blind, how out of touch the monarchy is with the needs of the people. A little bit of a royalty bashing in that episode. But it doesn't register, because generally, we're okay with that. A suspicion of things like institutions, suspicious of the halls of power, because we've been failed so much. It's happening in the time of Jesus. At that time, one of the first Jewish kings in a long time comes up, his name is Herod, and he goes as a supplicant to the Roman Empire. Make me king. Make me king over my people, and I'll serve you, only you. Rome grants that request. Herod becomes king. And the Roman Empire walks right through the land, terrorizing the people. That's the story. That's the life that Jesus is born into. That's the lives that so many humans in this world are born into. Terrible situations. I hope that we're very aware of the situations in the Ukraine, for example, or South Sudan. It's happening around the world. And maybe we're the privileged few who live in a land that doesn't have warrior kings roving over it. We have to acknowledge that privilege. We have to acknowledge that peace that we enjoy, often at the expense of these other countries. And yet, even here, as we sit here in our warmth, shielded from the cold, you also carry wounds and scars, sometimes visible, often not, of the hurt that you've experienced, of the pain that you've gone through. And maybe in the midst of the tears that you shed, wanting, asking, hoping, is there someone who can come and make my wrong right? Is there someone who can stop this near endless litany of pain that I'm forced to walk through? You know, for all my even serious disagreements with most Buddhist traditions, you know, I'm not a Buddhist, surprise. One thing that I think they get extremely right, and I so appreciate them, is that they'll tell you, if you ask them, what's life? They'll give you one word. Life is suffering. A human life honestly lived is the one that suffers. Most humans around the world have known that. We're the only ones who really struggle with it. And we do so much to stave it off. Insulate ourselves with comfort, with money, with pleasure, you know. Sometimes we even read less. We tailor what we read in such a way that we don't read things that are going to challenge the presuppositions of our lives. We just live a life that's curated to afford me as much comfort as possible. So what happens is, since we're not God, we can't stave off suffering. Suffering finds us. And then we have something called double suffering. Because we suffer what's being foisted on us, the pain, the struggle, and we suffer the mental anguish of believing, hey, I shouldn't be suffering. I'm one of the special ones. I'm Canadian. Double suffering. Now, speaking to you, and I get the sense that you know that, you know what it's like to hurt. I think you know that. I'd be shocked if you've had a bed of roses for life. And I want to tell you something. The pain that you've gone through, or even the pain that you're going through right now, no amount of politics, no amount of monarchy, no amount of leadership on this earth can heal you of that. It can't. That's why Christ the King, Jesus, God made man, has entered human history. You see, Jesus, God, came into this world at one of the most vicious times in human history. And notice that he wasn't born in the halls of royalty. He wasn't born to wealthy merchant family. He was born to a family of poor carpenter. It says that when he was born, his family took him to the temple, which was their a traditional religion, to bring a child to the temple and offer a sacrifice. And the family brought two pigeons, which, if you're aware of ancient Jewish law, that was the provision made for the poorest of the poor families who couldn't even afford a little lamb. You could bring two pigeons. And that's what his family brought for him. Because Jesus, the God-man, was born in the poorest of the poor. And yet he was proclaimed to be king. But what kind of kingship is Jesus? We know about kings. We know about political rulers. What kind of king is Jesus? The readings for today have us seeing his murder. As I said before, the local authorities illegally arrested him and they lynched him on the Roman cross. And there he is dying, perfectly innocent. Any one of us would have been furious to be illegally arrested and executed. But each one of us would have to admit, we've done enough that if people knew my heart and mind, they might be okay with this. Or at least it'd be a conversation. Jesus is the only human who's ever lived who no conversation could be had about him. Perfect, good, kind, loved people perfectly, loved God perfectly. He's arrested and killed on the cross. And as he's being murdered, what does he say? Oh, Dad, would you forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. Dad, would you take care of them? They just don't know. And they're laughing at him. They're laughing at him. And there's two thieves on either side. Thieves is probably a weird rendering, because usually for crucifixion, you have to, it's a capital punishment, the worst kind, which means that they're probably insurrectionists, people fighting against the empire. So they're thieves of public peace, but really they're fighting for their homeland. And there they are, fighting for what's right against the empire. And one of them laughs at Jesus. Well, if you're God, rescue yourself and rescue us. And the other thief says, you need to be quiet. It's likely we deserve this, but he doesn't deserve this. He hasn't done anything to be here. Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Now, whatever the kingdom that man's talking about, he's not thinking about what you and I think about sometimes, which is like heaven and transcendent supernatural peace. They didn't think in those terms. The kingdom of God would be something material, physical kingdom, with real laws and just policies. And on the cross, as he sees Jesus dying, somehow, that little kernel of faith, somehow he's thinking, I don't know how you're going to get out of this, Jesus, but when you do, not if, but when, hey, can you take me with you? I want to live in that world without strife, without pain, where I didn't have to become an insurrectionist. Can you do something about that? I think you can. Maybe you can. And they're dying there. And Jesus does. And he says a thing that only he could ever say. Only Jesus could say this. He says, I got this. In a minute, you and me are going to be in paradise. You're going to be there with me. I want you to think about that. For all our differences, and there's a lot of differences in this room right now, the one thing we have in common is that death comes for us all. No one escapes. That's the one appointment you cannot stave off. You can't dodge it. Except Jesus. I want you to think about that. Jesus is the king who was arrested illegally, lynched on a tree, and he chose to stay there. I want you to know that he's the God-man. If he wanted to, he could just walk right off. And he says himself at some other point, I could call a legion of angels and decimate this part of the world if I wanted to. The keys of life and death are in my hand. If I wanted to, of course I could tax. But what would I be doing if I called it a legion of army of angels? What would I be doing? I'd be a king like all the other kings that you have. All the other kings you have lord their power over you. They lord their money over you. They lord their injustice by making you follow the rules, but they don't follow it. And if you don't like it, tough. Here's the sword. And that's the kings we have. But Jesus is not that kind of king. Jesus says, God, Father, would you forgive them? As you're laughing at him, killing him, forgive them. God, would you help me? I'm not sure how you can do it. Could you help me? Just for talking to me and trusting me, tonight you're in paradise with me. Death is not the end for you. That's what he said to him. Now that might sound funny and wacky or deluded. A dying man saying to another dying man, hey, today you'll be in paradise. Not maybe, not hope, but you will. But you know what's great about this story? Yeah, they murdered him, they put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. In history, it's not a spiritual resurrection. It's not some mythology or some idea. He was literally raised from the dead. The only human in history to be murdered and come back to a new life. That's what the early Jewish people saw. His friends, then 500 people, then hundreds more. But death couldn't hold him. And that's a king. That's what it means to be a king. To have love for your friends, but also to love your enemies. To forgive when it's asked for, to forgive even when it's not asked for. to take a kernel of trust and to turn that trust into life eternal. That's a king. Bold humility. Jesus isn't heavy-handed. He's not a tyrant. I'm talking to you right now, inviting you to trust the only true king. And it is an invitation. A tyrant, a king, will force you to follow him. You have no choice. You leave the bounds of the kingdom, but if you stay, you bend the knee. There is no choice. Jesus does not do that. He is the gentle king. He simply invites you. He knows that we're all in the predicament, like that man died on the cross. We're all dying. Death comes for all of us. And often many of us are dead before we hit the grave. Our spirituality atrophies, our moral sense goes haywire, and all we live for is pleasure and comfort. We're zombies. Jesus is the only king putting his hand out and saying, I'm willing to forgive you. You don't even have to know everything. Just if you put out your hand and trust me. Just trust me. You don't have all the answers. Fine. Trust me. I'm going to give you my life and my love and my peace. And that's worth everything. It's worth so much because I'm the infinite God. And I gave my life for the possibility of you having this. Won't you trust me? Jesus is asking you. Christ the King, creator of the universe, born as a baby, grown to a family, lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death each one of us should have died. For you, for me. With all my heart, I do hope that you trust him. If you're wondering what that trust looks like, that's a longer conversation, so I'm around. Let's have that conversation. But if I can give you one thing, it's going to be this. Don't just love the people who are kind to you. Love the people that you deeply disagree with. Don't just forgive the people who go through your hoops for you to forgive them. Forgive those who haven't done anything. Turn to forgiveness. That's the only way we change this world. That's the only way we live a new life. Don't do it just for your own sake. Well, that really matters. Do it for the generations to come. We've got to build a better world. Jesus is that way. Let's trust in him. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you, the gentle King, in a spirit of thanksgiving. We thank you that in the history of misery and loneliness and suffering that we've crafted for ourselves and for each other, you have not ignored us. You've come to us in the person of Jesus to show us the way of life and love, the way to you. You don't ask us to have all the answers. You don't ask us to have our lives completely cleaned up. All you ask is that we trust you. Lord, I ask this moment for each person in this room, whatever's blocking us from trusting you, God, I pray that you remove that with your holy power and allow us to make a free choice to trust in you, the only King who never fails. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.